coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
I've often spoken on the Bible Answer Man broadcast about the theological gulf between Christianity and Mormonism, and I've published several resources on that very subject. But today in the broadcast, I want to share something a little different with you, and that is a DVD that tells the story of Joseph Smith's life and his campaign to be president of the United States of America. I think you can learn a lot about a religion by studying its founder. When we examine the life of Jesus Christ, we find a humble servant who washed the feet of his followers. We find a man whose life was so blameless that even his enemies could not find a way to smear his name. A man who urged his followers to be patient in suffering and to set an example through his own death for his followers so that they could follow in his train. But when we look at the life of Joseph Smith, we find something else entirely. We find a man whose sexual appetites caused him to pursue even the wives of his closest friends, which of course led to a split in the church in his lifetime and drove his wife to contemplate suicide. You find a man who silenced all dissent by any means necessary, including violence. A man whose desire for power caused him to take all the highest positions of authority among his people. Not only head of his church, but town mayor and general of the militia. He was even crowned king over Israel in a secret ceremony by top church officials. In a new resource that I want to put into your hands, it's titled A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, you'll find the little-known story of Joseph Smith's presidential campaign. I want to rush you a copy in appreciation this month for your support of $25, $50, $75, or whatever you're called to give this month. And for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a special bonus. It is my signed booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, and my memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage flip chart. The bottom line is, I want you to be informed and equipped to use the current political discussion as a springboard to share the gospel as you point out the discrepancies between Mormonism and Christianity. On the one hand, the presidential election is very important. But what I think is even more important is spiritual issues, which is to say, this is a great opportunity, with Mormonism being in the spotlight, to use the deviations of Mormonism to communicate the truth and life and love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. And with Mormonism, again, a major force in American history, we have that amazing opportunity to share truth. So let me send you a Mormon President on DVD in appreciation for your ministry support this month. You can call 888-7000 and the letter CRI, or you can log into the World Wide Web at equip.org and give by credit card. For your gift of $100 or more, again, remember you'll receive not only the DVD, which is an eye-opener in itself, but you receive the helpful Mormon Mirage flip chart and my signed booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. Again, you can check all of this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Stephen, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Stephen's listening on the web. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Hank. First off, I've been listening to you for a while, and I just want to let you know I'm speechless in how humble you are as a teacher, and I'm ultimately astounded that I have encountered such an epic steward of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Bless you.
Position that the Lord has given you and bestowed upon you has not only edified my spirit, it's momentarily quenches my infinite thirst for the Lord. So thank you so much for your ministry and what you do.
Thank you.
My question today comes from Revelation 2:13. I've been utilizing the principles that you teach, and I've ran into this. Bear with me; it's kind of a long question. According to many Christian traditions, Antipas was a Christian martyr who had been martyred earlier in Pergamum during the reign of Domitian AD 81 through 96. My question is that if Revelation was indeed written in AD 70. Why is John utilizing a past reference of a martyr from that's said to be from AD 81 through 96 to delineate holding firm during previous times of persecution? Or is this a case where text triumphs tradition and that which is cloudy, the traditional date, is demolished by that which is clear, which is that a man named Antipas was martyred in the first century and no further information is provided? If you could just provide me with correction or insight, please.
Yeah, well, I think that you put your finger on the real issue, and that is, in this particular situation, I think you have some traditions that are oftentimes touted as proof positive that the Book of Revelation was written after the fall of Jerusalem. But the truth of the matter is, there is a tradition about Antipas, but there's no firm information that he was the bishop of the church and was burned alive in a heated metal image of a bull during the days of Domitian, I think is a legend that appeared in the 10th century. In fact, if you go to a commentary by R.C.H. Linsky, you can find some further information on that. But I remember when I was writing my book, The Apocalypse Code, I encountered that particular objection to the notion that the Book of Revelation was written prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. What's interesting to me today, however, is that there are many people who are dispensational in terms of their eschatology, who are now redating the Book of Revelation. Let me read to you a quote by a Josh McDowell, who says, "Most liberal scholars are being forced to consider earlier dates for the New Testament. Dr. John A.T. Robinson comes to some startling conclusions in his groundbreaking book, Redating the New Testament. His research has led to his conviction that the whole of the New Testament was written before the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. That's, by the way, in his Evidence for Christianity, Historical Evidences for the Christian Faith, page 80. So that's an interesting comment. And there are many other dispensationalists that have said that all of the New Testament was written prior to AD 70. And many, many scholars are rethinking their dating of the Book of Revelation because even that dating seems to be more traditional than based on reason. If indeed the Apostle John were writing in AD 95, it seems incredible that he would make no mention whatsoever of the most apocalyptic event in Jewish history. And I think even more to the point, you have perhaps the most amazing prophecy that Jesus Christ ever made. Apart from his own resurrection, he now says that the temple and Jerusalem will be destroyed within a generation. And that prophecy comes to pass precisely as Jesus said it would. The pattern of the prophets is always to call attention to fulfilled prophecy. And it seems, as I just mentioned, incredible to think that Jesus Christ would not do the same, that John would not do the same thing with respect to the prophecy of Jesus Christ.
Well, that about does it. You never cease to amaze me, sir. We listen to you every day at work. You're awesome, man. It's just epic to listen to you. It's epic to take a look at things from your understanding. As I like to tell some of my Army buddies, you are the reconnaissance of the Christian Army. So thank you for your sight that's far above and behind enemy lines in the battlefield and sending it back to us so we can continue to fight the good fight. Thank you very much, sir.
You got it. More compliments than I deserve. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to JR in Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, JR.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. First of all, I'm not a Mormon. I'm a born-again child of God, a believer that Christ died and was raised for my resurrection, or my born-again. I'm sorry, I got a little nervous there for a second. But my question is, I was listening to you speaking about the Mormon mirage and things of that nature, and I was curious on your thoughts of the election this year about, who would you rather vote for in a way, someone that, wants to, give rights to the homosexual community and excuse me for being so, rude about it, but, kill babies or someone that at least believes in God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the issue is an issue that everyone has to prayerfully decide in their own heart. I cannot, as president of a 501c3 nonprofit organization, tell anybody how to vote, but I can tell you that Mormonism is in the spotlight, and therefore it is an opportunity to equip ourselves to be ready to take this very significant issue and use it as an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. Let me refer you. I was actually thinking about doing this. I was reading a newspaper, the Charlotte Observer, and of course we have the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte all this week. But let me read this. This is by David Lightman and William Douglas. They write, Democrats staked out unmistakably liberal positions on some of the nation's most volatile social issues. Tuesday, notably abortion and gay marriage, planting the party as firmly on the political left as Republicans are on the political right. The differences are vividly reflected in the two parties' platforms. For years, platforms strive to be lofty and gentle, brushing aside any hint of extremes while couching controversial positions in language carefully crafted not to offend swing voters. Not anymore. The Democratic platform lights a fire from the start, fans the flames, and urges voters to pick sides. This election is not simply a choice between two candidates or two political parties, it says, but between two fundamentally different paths for our country and our families. Since the Supreme Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which permitted abortion in most cases, the Democratic Party has supported the ruling. In 1996, and this is really significant, the party wrote in its platform, "We respect the individual conscience of each American on this difficult issue, and we welcome all our members to participate at every level of the party." The party's goal, it wrote, is to make abortion less necessary and more rare, not more difficult and more dangerous. This year, however, such niceties are all but gone. You're either with us or you're against us, they seem to say. The Democratic Party strongly, unequivocally supports Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to make decisions regarding her pregnancy, including a safe and legal abortion, regardless of the ability to pay. We oppose any and all efforts to weaken or undermine that right, the 2012 platform says. The word rare is not used. There are no exceptions to allow any limits on the right to abortion, such as laws requiring parental notification or a ban on the late-term procedure called partial birth abortion. Which, by the way, when you have a partial birth abortion, you have the painful killing of an innocent human being. And the only difference between that human being and one already born completely is a matter of partial location. So these kinds of social issues we should take into consideration when we vote. I think the whole issue of Mormonism, or even the stuff I've talked about on the broadcast with respect to what Barack Obama says about the Bible, these issues are issues that we can use as springboards or opportunities to communicate truth in an epoch of time that desperately needs to hear the ring of truth. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Few people know the story of Joseph Smith's quest to be our first Mormon president, or the secrets behind his rise to power. Learn the truth with the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. Our gift to you when you support more Bible Answer Man broadcasts with your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources sharing the truth of Mormon theology. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Did the prophet Daniel predict a seven-year great tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes. But the next question is, when did or when will this great tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column. Other topics include surmounting cultural barriers in presenting the gospel to Muslims, defending Christianity in the marketplace of ideas like the Apostle Paul, addressing the emotional problem of evil, evolution's Achilles heel, Kierkegaard and U2 on authentic love, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity, the memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth in love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. However, when Muslim people are in my country, don't I have the right and freedom to follow my own culture? Find out how to overcome cultural barriers in presenting the gospel to Muslims in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jonathan listening in Wichita, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Jonathan.
How you doing, Hank?
Good.
I have a question. It's really a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a podcast, and I heard you talking about, it was a commercial that played, actually. I heard the voice of Miles Monroe, and it was dealing with the false teachings of Word of Faith teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And on another podcast, I heard you talking about the Church of God. And I just wanted to know if there is any kind of correlation between the Word of Faith teachings and the Church of God in Christ, which is a different denomination, but... If you know anything about that, could you tell me that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the Church of God in Christ is not a word faith denomination. Now, it is certainly possible that the church has faith teachers that are allowed in the pulpit. That's something that individual pastors make individual decisions on. And I've found over and over again that the Pentecostal movement in general has been a platform from time to time in various churches for men like Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and the like. But I think it's very important that we don't broad brush the denomination, because the denomination itself has done some pretty courageous things in its history, including standing against Oneness Pentecostalism.
Now, as far as the commercial I was talking about, I heard, was that Miles Monroe that I heard in the commercial?
I don't know what commercial you heard, but it's very possible.
It was a commercial dealing with the false teachings of Word of Faith teachings.
Yeah, it could be. I just can't say, because I don't know what commercial you're talking about, but I would imagine the answer is probably yes.
Okay, because I didn't know. I listened to some of his stuff, and I read some of his books. I wanted to know if that was true or not, you know.
Yeah. Well, he is definitely a Word of Faith teacher and a false teacher.
Okay. In what respect is he a false teacher?
Well, I have all the information in two different places, but the primary place that you can find the information with respect to Miles Monroe is my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate it, sir.
You get it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I've been listening to you for decades. I'll echo the kudos of everybody else. I really rely on you. I do a lot of Bible teaching and workshops and classes of all sizes. So it's good to use you as a good reference and a cross-check. Keep me honest. I've been reading your Apocalypse Code, and I have a number of peer teachers who are very much against what you're saying there, as you might guess, but you're slowly winning me along, and I've gotten through a third of it three times now. And what I'm missing is I like to take things and break it down to simple things as much as can be, for I have audiences that range in age from teenagers all the way up to 70 and 80 years old. Have you considered a graphic that would compare the usual apocalyptic points that are pretty much bought today versus your interpretation point to point?
Well, I haven't, but it is certainly a very good idea.
So you want me to do it, or are you going to do it?
Boy, I'd love it if you did it.
Okay. But do you think it's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea.
I keep rereading it. I keep thinking, I need to put this down and then go back and research now how it is believed today and then compare it.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I get done with that, would I send it to you and then you could critique it?
That'd be wonderful.
Okay. Don't hold your breath, but somewhere in the next couple of months.
Wonderful.
Thanks very much for taking the call.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And the Apocalypse Code that was just referenced, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out online at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jason in St. Clair, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. I had a question. You know how they say your parents, their actions can punish you for generations? Does that make sense?
No. Well, the Bible makes it very clear in passages like Ezekiel chapter 18 that the son is not responsible for the sin of the father or vice versa. However, it is correct to say that the consequences of sin pass down through the generations. So, for example, if you have an alcoholic father, there are consequences to the family. And so I think that consequences as opposed to curses passed down through the generation.
Okay, because I was going to ask if we ask for forgiveness, how can we still be punished for generations? But that now makes total sense. So, appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob in Schaumburg, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for your program. I'm just glad you could take my call today. It's pronounced Schaumburg.
Schaumburg.
Yes.
Got it right. The second time.
A couple weeks back, you were talking about paradise and heaven, and my understanding is a little foggy, perhaps. When the Lord told the thief he would be with him in paradise, we know that on that day he descended before he ascended from Ephesians. So paradise, is that in Hades, or is there something I'm missing?
Well, first of all, the passage in Ephesians does not have anything to do with going down to the abode of the dead. It has to do with his incarnation on earth. But the whole idea about absent from the body, present with the Lord as a believer, is not a locational statement. It's a relational statement, and the same holds true with an unbeliever. And the reason for that is souls, by definition, are non-physical, and therefore they don't have extension in space. So they don't have awareness, but they do have awareness. So when we say absent from the body, present with the Lord, again, that is a relational statement, not a locational statement. With respect to Jesus Christ, yes, when he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, this is talking about Jesus going to be with the Father.
Well, my understanding was that he couldn't appear before the Father unclothed without his resurrected body, which didn't occur until after.
Why is that?
Well, that was just my understanding, that our being would be unclothed without a body, so that the Lord Jesus, his resurrected body, would be necessary for him to be in the heavens with the resurrected body.
No, that's not correct at all, because remember that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A. B. Prior to the incarnation, Jesus was not in flesh. It is true that you can look at the Old Testament and find Christophanies, temporary appearances of Christ in flesh, but Christ was not incarnated or did not come in flesh until the time that he came in the incarnation in his birth in Bethlehem. So the point is that he would have been with the Father, and he would have been spirit, just as the Father is spirit and just as the Holy Spirit is spirit.
Okay, Hank. Thanks for your program, and thanks for your non-political view of the Bible.
What does that mean?
Oh, I just feel like I don't get something that's correct, politically correct. I feel like I'm getting something that's from the Bible when I listen to your program.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Bob. And that is a wonderful compliment. I mean, we strive at the Christian Research Institute not to be politically correct, not to be popular, and sometimes it causes us not to prosper financially, where we get into real harm's way financially. And again, it is because we do what we do because truth matters. We don't do what we do to be politically correct. And I want to emphasize that when I'm offering A Mormon President, the DVD that I've been talking about at the beginning of the broadcast, this is not a DVD that is devoted to trying to tell you how to vote. It may very well be that voting for a Mormon president is the greatest good. That is not my judgment to make. My whole orientation is to say this is an opportunity as a Christian to be equipped at a very significant time in history when Mormonism is up front center in the news. What a wonderful time to know what you believe and why you believe what you believe, so you can reach out to Mormons, because they have a different Jesus. They have a different gospel. It is a gospel that cannot save, and it is a Jesus who is not the Jesus of the Bible. In former years, Mormons were very outspoken about the differences between their religion and the Christian religion. Today, many Mormons are seeking to communicate the notion that Mormonism and Christianity are one and the same. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And again, this is pointed out in the Mormon flip chart that I referenced in my booklet on Mormonism and in the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. Let's go right back to the phone line. Talks to Peggy, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hank, I have a situation in my family that I'd like to get a biblical view on, because that's where I take my life these days, and I want to get God's view on how I should handle the situation. In short, just a little bit of background. I have a sister-in-law that used to be married to my brother. I take care of my brother now. He's disabled. My sister-in-law has never been kind or said kind words to people in my family. She claims to be a Christian, but she's proven false to its teaching. So, but that's between her and God. My point is that we've never had a good relationship. She's been asked by family members not to visit their homes and not to call, because we just don't have that kind of relationship with her. Just this past weekend, she comes by my house uninvited. Now, I don't wish to take a hard road or a hard line with her. The first thing I thought about was having a restraining order through the courts. But again, I want to take the Bible's view on how to handle something like this without her thinking that she can just come in and do as she wishes.
Well, Peggy, the biblical view, and I'm sorry to cut you off because I'm almost at a station break, but the biblical view is to seek for reconciliation and always have that door open for reconciliation. Sometimes, however, there are considerations in terms of whether there's danger lurking around the bend where a restraining order is warranted. But the basic fundamental biblical principle is we are to seek reconciliation at all times. And of course, that takes two parties. It takes someone wanting to be forgiven and someone willing to forgive. And when both of those are in place, true reconciliation can take place as well. Be right back.
Did the prophet Daniel predict a 7-year great tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes, but the next question is, when did or when will this great tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. Plus, a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can learn a lot about a religion by studying its founder. And when we study Joseph Smith, his difference from Jesus Christ couldn't be more striking. When you partner with us in ministry through a gift today, we'll send you the revealing DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources exposing Mormonism's theological deviations from Christianity. Get equipped. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Babbitt in Fresno, California, listening on KCIV. Hi.
Hi, Frank. My God. Hi, Hank. I just want to thank you for, you know, all the years that you've put, you know, this effort in. And my sister and I started listening to you about 15 years ago, I guess. May have been that long, but anyway, I just want to thank you. I have a question regarding the Blue Beam Project.
Yeah.
Can you give me any information?
Yeah, I actually can. It's a conspiracy theory.
It's a hoax?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a great big hoax. Manast, he died in 1996, and the conspiracy theory really took off after he died. But he believed that NASA conspired to implement the New Age religion with the Antichrist at its head, which was a foundational piece for a new world government. And the plan involved the engineering of artificially created earthquakes and a big space show in the sky with technologically sophisticated three-dimensional optical holograms and laser projections and the like, and sounds to portray Jesus and God and mind control through technology and on and on. This is a big conspiracy theory. It's a hoax, as you properly labeled it.
I kind of figured that. Thank you so much for your answer.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kevin in Hermitage, Tennessee. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. All right. My question is about Numbers 21, verse 9, where Moses makes a bronze serpent and puts it on top of a rod. And basically, my question is, I have a very I have a few Catholic friends that try to say this to justify crucifixes and the use of them. And I just have a question: is that along the same guidelines? I believe that that would be a graven image. If I don't know. Could you answer that?
Yeah, well, remember that the injunction against graven images is that we are not to bow down and worship them. So to have a picture of Jesus Christ is not a sin. To have an image that you worship in place of Jesus Christ, however, would be a sin. But with respect to the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the Arabah, I actually wrote about this in an entry in the Creation Answer book where I point out that the bronze serpent was an image without venom. And so the image of the invisible God who came in the appearance of sinful flesh was likewise without sin. And therefore, the serpent that was lifted up was not only emblematic of seduction, but the exemplar of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who would die so that we might live.
I see. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Marcia, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Marcia's listening on Bot Radio.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I have a question. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted your viewpoint about something. Have you ever heard of Father Hart's ministry?
Yes.
Russ and
yes,
Kitty
yes,
Walden?
Yes. Yes.
What are your viewpoints? I don't know how I came across it on the internet, and I was just listening to him, and I don't know what to think.
What were you listening to him say?
He was doing a a breakthrough. He was prophesizing a breakthrough, and he was just talking about what he felt the Father said, and then he said some strange language, and then he went through and said another some more things of what he thought that the Father said. I was just wondering. You hear so many strange things, and you have to be discerned about certain things. I was just wondering what's your viewpoint about it.
Yeah, I have not done a whole lot of primary research in this regard, but what I do know has been pretty much along the lines that you have already communicated in the prologue to your question. There are all kinds of prophecies about the future, direct communications from God and the like. So this is, at least from my preliminary examination, this is not someone that is credible at all from the perspective of authentic New Testament Christianity.
Okay, Dan. I was wondering, and I was leaning towards that because, I don't know, it's just something I just couldn't put my finger on.
Well, it sounds like you have some discernment skills.
Well, I've been praying to God for them.
Amen. Well, Marcia, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bless you. Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to David in Springfield, Missouri, also listening on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Well, good, good. Hey, you do a very good job of outlining the Mormon belief system and the differences and concerns with that belief system. My question is kind of, it flips that. when a Mormon comes and witnesses, evangelizes to me, from the Mormon viewpoint, what is it about my belief system as a Christian that puts me in eternal peril? What do they see that is fundamentally wrong with the Christian viewpoint?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and I would say this, that they don't think that you are in peril. And the reason they do not think that you are in peril is because they have a number of different heavens, which is to say that in their view, murderers, unrepentant whoremongers, the world's vilest people, they make it into a heaven called the celestial heaven. And then lukewarm Mormons, religious people, and those who accept the Mormon gospel in the spirit world enter the terrestrial heaven. And then temple Mormons make it to the celestial heaven. But only those who are sealed in secret temple rituals get to the third level of the celestial kingdom and become gods of their own planets. So I don't think they think that you are in peril unless you are a son of perdition, and very few people, in their view, qualify for that.
Okay. So why would they want me to convert?
Well, because they believe that they have the only true, uncorruptible revelation, which they hold to be the Book of Mormon. They hold it to be the most correct of any book on earth, their words, and the keystone to their religion.
So if I convert, then I will just get a better level, a higher level, but it will still be an eternal reward.
Yeah, well, remember, the whole idea behind Mormonism was Joseph Smith got a vision. And in that vision, two celestial personages claimed to Joseph Smith that all existing churches were wrong and that all their creeds were an abomination and that all their professors were corrupt. And according to these personages, Smith had been chosen to restore, not reform, but restore a church that had disappeared from the face of the earth. And then, of course, the doctrines that evolved from that vision ended up compromising all of the historic Christian faith, from the nature of God to the authority of Scripture to the way of salvation that we just discussed.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to answer that, because I had never stopped to ask, you know, someone that came to my door that. So I appreciate you helping me with that.
You got it.
Okay, thank you.
And in response to that call as well, let me mention that we do have the Mormon Mirage booklet, flip chart, also a brand new DVD that we're offering to our constituency. The DVD is titled A Mormon President, Joseph Smith. Of course, he was the founder of Mormonism, and the Mormon Quest for the White House. The DVD available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ray in New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ray.
How you doing, Mr. Hank? How's everything?
Doing well, thank you.
Sir, my question is, I just overheard you talking about graven images, and you mentioned the crucifix. I am a Christian, and I do wear a cross around my neck. Would that be improper for me to do that as a Christian?
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the distinction that we have to make about graven images is that in Exodus 20, God commanded that we not make graven images or carved images as objects of worship. So Israel was forbidden to worship other gods or images that symbolized other gods. And the prohibition is therefore against using images as idols. Don't bow down to them. Do not serve them, we're told in Exodus chapter 20. So wearing a cross or even a crucifix doesn't violate that in any sense.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much for clearing that up for me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for your call. And let's go next to Rick in Bloomington, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I wondered if you are familiar with the IHOP ministry out of Kansas under Mike Bickle.
Oh, yeah, we're very familiar with Mike Bickle, and we We did an article in the Christian Research Journal, which deals head on with Mike Bickle and the International House of Prayer as well. I wrote about Mike Bickle in my book, Counterfeit Revival, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places.
Okay, so I can get, are there archives of the Christian Research Institute?
Oh, yeah, the journal is archived in. We can send the article out to you, but you may be able to find it on the World Wide Web. In fact, I think you can find it at equip.org.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A quick reminder once again, we are in a very interesting time, a time in which Mormonism is front and center. It is, as it were, in the spotlight. And this is a wonderful opportunity for Christians to be equipped to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. So we have made available all this month not only a DVD, but a flip chart and a booklet available so that you can be better equipped with respect to Mormonism. It may very well be that Mitt Romney would make a great president. That's not the point. The point is, since Mormonism is in the spotlight, we need to take this opportunity to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. The DVD, again, it's called A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web, equip.org, via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can always pick up the telephone, dial 888-7000. CRI. Be right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has deepened your understanding of the Scriptures and equipped you to better defend your faith. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book.
thank you for your partnership.